From lashes for days with the Viral Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara to lift and color from their brilliant eye brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is the go-to for amplifying everyday looks. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients that work with your skin. Amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/shine26 for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/shine26.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Got an 0-1 pitch. Drives one the other way. Tucker's going back towards the corner at the wall.
No. I don't need any reminders of last night. I don't.
You don't either. It's Monday. And guess what's tonight, Sean? You know the answer. I know the answer. Everyone who's been listening to my show over the course of these playoffs, you know what tonight is.
I think it's the biggest game of the Astros season.
This is 100% the biggest game of the Astros season.
This is why, by the way, quick side note, this is why I'm against calling things the biggest game of the Astros season in, like, September. Is because, yeah, you know what? That Royals series was pretty big. Call me a contrarian. This one's a little bit bigger.
But here's the thing, Sean. So part of our bit continuing to do this is because we're making fun of that concept. But the other part is the new mentality of the Paul Gallant show and the sober journey that I am on and love to remind people about, like most people that are going through a sober phase. By the way, shout out to the people who actually go through it. It's more the constant, like, patting yourself on the back about how you're going through it, as opposed to, you know, maybe being real and talking about the struggles of how difficult that can be. But, guys, the positive chakra that the Paul Gallant show has manifested upon the city of Houston, especially when it comes to all things Astros, is that the reason that every game is the biggest game of the season is because today is the greatest day of your life. But here's the thing. I care about you people. I do.
What? Not just because I said you people, it means I'm looking down on you?
No. Guys, I care about you. I care about this city. I am willing to do things to make things happen. No, not that. No. I am not doing that. I know it's going through your head. It's going through my head. I'm not even going to say it on the air. I will not do that. But there's some peer pressure here. D'Amico Senko, _9, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. I swear on all things holy, if Pauly G doesn't drink El Tiempo margaritas tonight and we lose, I'm out. Coog Blaze commented, someone tie Pauly up at the game and pour El Tiempo Margs down his throat. That seems a little bit much. No. Another, this is from the text line. Did you drink last postseason? If so, then start drinking ASAP. I gotta say, seems to be a lack of respect. I mean, shoot. Sean, you weren't there at East River 9, but La Grassa, who, cool dude and all, but La Grassa kept on coming over to me and trying to get me to take a shot or have a drink. And I've told him it the multiple times that I've been out and about watching Astros games this postseason. No. And then he got a little handsy, and then I started to get mad. Don't touch another guy's nipple, dude. That deserved to be called out on the radio. That was where I was like, okay, I know I'm a public figure and all, but, like, don't do that. Pushed his arm away.
Went full Adolis Garcia.
No, I think I would have been well within my right to go full Adolis Garcia. But I didn't because you are a listener and you're part of my family. But
I'm willing to make sacrifices. I know that one of our Twitch listeners wants me to wear the white pants. I wore those on Saturday night. I can't wear those to the ballpark. I can't distract people in the press area. I'm too hot for that. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want every single reporter, regardless of their sexuality, to just be like, you know, I don't want that. I don't want that kind of attention. It's all about the Astros. It's about Game 7. I'm not wearing the white pants, but I am open to the idea of drinking for you people who are so superstitious if things don't go so well for the Astros. I believe a compromise would be if things are not going well by the fifth inning, that I will consider making the trip to the Hornitos Bar in center field and getting my frozen $300 El Tiempo margarita. Hell, I might even put a little margarita sauce on it for an additional $49.99. Which sounds good in concept, but does not look good in execution. But whatever. I'm willing to do things for you. But I do want people to know the last time that I had a margarita at Minute Maid Park was during a Astros-Padres game. This was the game where the Padres absolutely walloped the Astros. And I'm just saying, it didn't help. Didn't change anything. Didn't help. That was the last one I went to. So, just something to keep in mind. I don't think that this is going to change the Astros' fortunes. I think this is going to change the Astros' fortunes. Tonight, before we get to our friend in just a moment on the phone, 713-780-3776. The advantage of all advantages that the Astros have tonight and did not have in Game 6 and did not have in Game 5 and honestly did not have in Game 1 and Game 2 in hindsight, they have the better starting pitcher tonight. It's based off of what we've seen recently from Christian Javier in the postseason. Hell, last time around against the Rangers, against the Twins, Javier should deliver a better performance than Max Scherzer. Now, I don't know if Scherzer will be as shaky as he was in the start that he had Game 3 earlier this series, where he did not last very long. It was his first game after a month off with the shoulder injury that he'd suffered. But between those two and what we've seen of them recently, Javier is clearly the better pitcher. And the Astros, who win games when they take advantage of opportunities early, have to take advantage of opportunities early. You have to assault Scherzer from the get-go. Me drinking is not going to affect this game in any way. I'm not like the horoscope boys coming up next with all their superstitions as well. I'm not that. They're saying, oh, Paul can't go to the game at Minute Maid Park. They've won one of the games I went to at Minute Maid Park. This idea that we have to do the same thing over and over again when I've done different things for every single one of the Astros road wins is also completely ridiculous. I've watched games at three different bars. You know, oh, but you have to go to a bar. No, just stop. Just stop with the superstition stuff. Drinking's not going to change it. Me going to a bar is not going to change it. They have to get hits, as has been the case all effing year long. They have to get hits. I didn't swear that time. Shout out to me. We have made it officially one segment without swearing and violating the FCC's BS regulations.
We're not actually at the end of the segment, so I'm not ready to flip the little card that says we have not had a dump button in this many days.
Right. Yeah,
we should actually get one of those for the studio.
They were calling out from what I underhear. This is that doesn't make any sense. But from what I understand, they're at yes. I used to work with somebody who would have the producer dump whenever he made like a small mistake, and it just added up. It was crazy. Anyway, where was I? This is where we always get to.
Oh, I have no idea.
On Friday, they said that I don't watch the games because I didn't notice the banana boy who was behind home plate. Sorry, I pay attention to baseball, unlike the non-professionals after me. But whatever, it's fine. Let's go to the phone, 713-780-3776. We got Tab, our Rangers fan friend, calling in before a do-or-die Game 7 tonight. Tab, I'm annoyed that we did not have a show on Saturday, because I would have liked to hear from you then, but
congrats to your Rangers. This thing made it all the way to 7, and they do have a chance to win tonight given the Astros' struggles at home this year.
Yes, sir, they do. And the thing, with all the whining I've been hearing from you today, I've got a perfect sound effect for you and your Astros fans who are complaining that somebody that you got a player suspended.
Yeah.
That's what y'all are sounding like, you know?
Tab, I have a question.
Put your big boy britches on.
Your big boy britches on. Tab, I have a question. Was that a sound effect that you played, or did you make that noise yourself? Because if you made that noise yourself, you're like the guy from Police Academy.
Yes, I did make that noise.
You made
myself.
That yourself? Oh, that was impressive. I'm not going to lie. That was impressive, Tab. That was impressive. But you got to admit, Garcia escalated that thing. Should he not have been suspended as well? I think the idea that Abreu would have thrown at Garcia in that spot is insane. They were down 2 runs. They had no outs. If this was a game where it had gotten out of hand, remember earlier in the year when Framber Valdez threw at Marcus Semien and that was clearly intentional? Like, that's one thing. Framber should have been suspended or ejected for that. For some reason, he wasn't. But this time around, I thought that Garcia was the person who turned this into a much bigger deal than it was. And that the main reason Abreu got suspended is because baseball was perhaps looking for a reason. Abreu had a different account of what happened than what Maldonado said. Maldonado said that they were trying to set up away, and Abreu said they were trying to set up inside. But come on, man. Shouldn't they both have been suspended for that? It wouldn't have affected last night's game. I think the Rangers still win with or without Adolis Garcia, just given the struggles of the Astros' bats. But they both should have been suspended.
You're going to call me the same homer I call you. But I think it was obvious that he threw right at him.
But why do you think that? Because they've been through this before. For the Rangers, this is huge. This is the furthest that they've been in a really long time, this specific group of players. I just have a hard time buying into the idea that Abreu would have been bothered, or any Astro would have been bothered, by Garcia dancing the way that he has when they have been very patient and bit their tongue with a lot of vitriol that has been directed towards them. That's where I'm at, Tab. I just think if this was another team in that situation throwing at Garcia, sure, I believe it. But because of the success that the Astros have had, I just have a hard time thinking that that moment set anyone on that team over the edge.
Well, and I'm saying this politely as always, Paul, you have your opinion and I have mine.
That is true, Tab. We appreciate you calling in, and I'm sure we'll hear from you tomorrow.
Oh, hey, and now you know this. Win, lose, or draw, I'll call in.
That's why we like you.
I'll either congratulate you or I'll be looking for congratulations.
Oh, damn. Oh, that's – oh, boy. Oh, Tab, appreciate the phone call. that last part.
And after we win – I want you to wear a Texas Rangers t-shirt.
I won't do that. I will not do that. But appreciate the phone call, Tab. We like Tab. He's fun.
Tab just cut a promo on us. That was insane what Tab just did to us.
God.
He came with the baby noise.
Baby noise was impressive.
He came with the, I'll be here to congratulate you, or I'll be here for you to congratulate me.
Man, I almost, like, he asked me so politely to do it. I can't do it.
No,
though.
You can't.
I can't do
you
it.
You cannot do it.
No.
Paul, I will not allow you to do that.
Good. We need some positive vibes. We can't go to a commercial break so quickly, right? I know we're up against it, Sean. Can we play? Can we get a little positive vibes? We need some positive vibes. Tab just took all the air out of the room with a really good trash talk phone call. We need something.
Here's 1 minute and 2 seconds of positive Astros.
Huzzah! Vibe.
Why did they argue the umpire's call? Why did the fielders crash into walls?
Astros.
Why do you think the pitchers throw smoke? Why do you think they go for broke?
Who says it's only a game?
Why do they die for the dive on the grass? Why do they...
says it's only a game. Why do you think they call them spikes? Why do you think they call them strikes?
Umpires don't know that. Apparently, we're in a show fight with Connor and Beard. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the most interactive sports talk show in town. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the only sports radio on FM in Houston. Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Leclerc ready to deliver the 0-1 to Altuve. Here it comes. Swings and drives this one to left. Carter going back. Did Altuve do it? Carter leaps. He cannot catch it. A three-run home run. Jose Altuve. And the Astros are on top 5-4. Is there anything he cannot do as the Astros pour out of the dugout to celebrate their second baseman and his 26th career postseason home run?
Last night sucked. Friday night did not. And since it was something that took place on Friday night and another game has happened since then that had a very different outcome, we haven't had a chance to really touch on Friday night. Obviously, last night, the Astros bats did not show up. It's something we've seen regularly at Minute Maid Park. But I do want to go back to Friday for just a moment. Games like Friday are why it's so awesome to be a fan of the Astros. It's because that's always possible. And I really do hope that you are enjoying every single second of this because we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Positive vibes, right? Or excuse me, tonight. We don't know. Positive vibes. I'm feeling good about it. But a moment like Friday where you actually had faith that Altuve was going to slap it out of the park. And then you see it, and you're with all sorts of other Astros fans who all collectively lost their minds. It is special. Thought it was pretty cool to see John Granato actually call what happened. He said Singleton was going to get a walk, and then he said, right after that happens, Altuve's going yard. Second pitch, he hits it out. And I think one of the frustrating things that we're always going to have to wrestle with as Astros fans is that he is never, Jose Altuve, going to be appreciated outside of Houston in the way that we all want him to be because of the sign-stealing scandal. Whether that's right or wrong, it's just the reality. Go look at any story that allows comments underneath it. After that Altuve hit, just read through them, and you're going to see a bunch of people call him a cheater. A bunch of people who are going to say there was a buzzer there. Even though, I mean, shoot, I think Jeff Passan went emphatically on the record either this year or last year saying there was no buzzer. So all we can do is just appreciate the great moments that he brings. And, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. On Friday, and they got to recapture that. Altuve was good last night. Yordan Alvarez was good last night. Jose Abreu was good last night. But there were a lot of other players in the lineup that need to wake the F up. I think Bregman, at the very least, has been patient. But for anyone who potentially plays in the outfield, whether it's Mauricio Dubon or Chas McCormick, they can't press. They got to sit back. They got to force Scherzer to throw strikes, whoever ends up playing there. And I would say for Jeremy Pena, same thing.
Kyle Tucker, same thing. And I don't know what's up with Tucker. I saw one person tweet out a picture of Kyle Tucker squatting in right field. They were saying, oh, his body language has been off. Is there something going on in his personal life? A lot of ridiculous speculation considering the picture that he had of Tucker was still rather grainy. And I get it. Like, your eyes in a situation like that are probably going to be better than whatever an iPhone can zoom in and capture. But I thought that was a bit of a reach to wonder what's going on in his personal life. But clearly, he just isn't himself right now. And he's, what, 5'4", 37 this postseason? Like, that's obviously bad. At least he's got a couple of three doubles, to be specific. And he did get that walk. Like, he did approach the Leclerc eventually bases loaded situation the right way. Make Leclerc pitch to you. He will throw balls. You got to lay off. Unless he's giving you something you absolutely love. And maybe that's the dynamic with Leclerc. Maybe when you're going up against him, it looks like he is giving you something good. He has some deceptive pitches, which is why he also ends up throwing a lot of balls. Maybe there's a little bit of Christian Javier to him or something like that. But there's got to be patience from these Astros bats. They can't press to score runs. And they got to not think about the fact that they've struggled at home. They've got to not think about the fact that they've, in particular, struggled at home this postseason. 2.8 runs a game in five games. Can't think about it. Because when they think about it, they get aggressive and their approach suffers. And it lends itself to guys like Nathan Eovaldi barely throwing any pitches to get through six innings. Same thing with Jordan Montgomery. Scherzer will, I think, be better than he was last time by default because that was his first start after a month off. You got to be patient and you got to make him work. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. I've got some not-so-fun facts about tonight's Game 7. And we're going to decide whether they matter or don't matter. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around. First, though, got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Is that how I break the fast? Should I go home, get a nice cocktail glass, plop a big old ice cube in there, and pour myself some of the smooth, refreshing, not too sweet, original Pendleton whiskey? I don't know. I'm thinking about it. If you guys want me to do it to make things better for the Astros, I suppose I could. For more than a century, the Pendleton Roundup, one of the oldest rodeos in all of North America, has defined what it means to be a cowboy, and it gave life to Pendleton whiskey, which I really enjoy. It's a whiskey that captures the unique spirit of the American West in every single bottle and honors its legacy as well. It's made with the finest northern grains and cut with Mount Hood Glacier water, a whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. Your boy wore cowboy boots on Friday. There's a cowboy in me. It's thanks to Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
John Stockton says, hey, look at me. I'm a little teapot. I'll run right up your dress. But then Karl Malone says, Sweet Sassy Molassie, you are going to pay a lot.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. He'll behave, Paul. Give him hell.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston from the 281. Did you get the name of the cowboy that was in you, Paul? Hey. Listen, Pendleton Whiskey, it's good stuff. And maybe that's what I need to do to get the Astros out of a slump. Would it count if I pour it and just give it to, I don't know, the people that hang outside the library that's right down the street from me? Does that count as me drinking?
I'm not sure if that's legal to do that.
Why not?
I guess
open container rules?
If they're over 21.
They're definitely over 21. Oh, they're well over 21.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then probably open container.
How many years is a street year?
Serious question.
A street year?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're living outside and you're, you know, probably doing things.
Probably like 5 or 6, right?
Yeah. I'd imagine it's sort of, you know, like dog years, cat years. If you're out on the streets and are not living inside and are doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Yeah. A lot of sun damage too in the summer.
Yeah. They could use a beverage. Why not? Todd has a thought on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. Todd, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Public service announcement and a note to Dusty. Put Diaz in. Let Tucker bat in front of Alvarez so he can see some easier pitches. And Houston drivers, if you drive on the left-hand lane slowly, just move over. We wouldn't have so many wrecks in traffic. Thanks.
That last part, so true. I don't think anyone in the country understands the passing lane. I really don't think anyone understands how it works. But the left lane, if there's somebody that's going fast, pull over to the side. Don't be the person who slows it down for everybody. Yeah, maybe it's because I drive on the highway like I'm on the Autobahn. Whatever. I have a German car now.
So you are on everywhere you go, you're on the Autobahn.
Thank you very much to my Volkswagen Taos, though I have to take it in today to get it looked at by insurance because it got assaulted at Minute Maid Park. Still mad about that.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
Was it Odolis Garcia?
Didn't think about that until just now. Yeah. Would Odolis Garcia have a road rage incident? How many did he have today? While in a bus that he wasn't even driving.
While getting Ubered or whatever.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, man. God, I can't even imagine how intense he's in a car. So, to his first point, putting Diaz in the lineup. I say no. I know you're going to get mad at me. Offense over defense, right? Maybe you bring in Diaz earlier than Dusty did last night, but I want Maldi out there for Christian Javier. Whatever the two have been working together the last two starts, it has worked. So I think you go with Maldi for this game. Did he say move Kyle Tucker up in the lineup as well from the sixth spot? Was that what he was implying? I almost wonder if you move him down even further.
Yeah, he was saying basically since teams are going to pitch more aggressively, so you're going to stay in the strike zone more, the hitter that's before Alvarez, because you don't want to walk him and get guys on for Alvarez. So maybe he'll see more hittable pitches if he pitches before Alvarez.
Okay.
I it's something that in the regular season I could see you trying to do. In game 7 ALCS, I don't think you do it. Same thing with Yiner. At this point in the season, you're not going to throw him in a game 7.
There's a part of me that wonders if you swap Pena with Tucker at the back of the lineup, and you move Pena into the 7 and Tucker to the 8, and then you put Dubon at 6 or something. And again, my logic is more, if you put Tucker further down the lineup, it's a more dangerous person to have around Martin Maldonado. Theoretically, you could just walk him, though, every single time. But Pena's doing nothing for you. That's the big problem. I'm not even mad at Maldi. It's Jeremy Pena has sucked. He just has. And, you know, he was the crown prince of this show last year. He could do no wrong. But he has done literally nothing offensively this postseason. Defensively, he's been great. Offensively, he has done absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I think that Tucker still gets some respect from the Rangers pitchers because of the name, basically the name recognition, and the fact that he's gonna be on MVP ballots regular season.
All those things are true, but you got to feel emboldened pitching to him right.
Yeah,
now.
Same thing when Marcus Semien comes up and
that's true. Semien struggles. Yeah,
he's having basically the same series that Kyle Tucker is, except I think he's probably walking less than Kyle Tucker is. But every time he comes up, you're like, is this the one that he gets back on track? Because we know both these guys are good hitters. Like, they're not going to suck for forever.
But
they're at some point, they're gonna break out of it.
Man, I want to have positive vibes with Tucker, but I'm sort of past it.
Whoa.
I felt the same way about Fromber. And Fromber's not the reason you lost last night.
Yeah, Fromber was
Fromber
fine.
Was enough. Just he was enough.
Was fine. Yeah. It was a fine performance.
Much like in not game fine. Two, he did get strikeouts, but yep. those two pitches, the one that Jonah Heim hit in particular, that's it, the two home runs that he allowed. Otherwise, it was a good outing. Truly. If not, if you take one of those home runs away, specifically the second one, that was a good outing by Fromber. Instead, it was, as you said, Sean, a fine outing.
But yeah, before game one, when we were talking about Justin Verlander, we were saying, would you just sign up right now for 6 innings, 3 earned runs? And we both said yes. That is what Fromber gave you. He gave you exactly that.
Exactly what you want.
Like, so there's no, like, I don't know. You can't be too mad at Fromber.
I was nervous he was going to get chased in the third. So
yes, that's the thing with Fromber is that the trust level with us is so low that every home run is worth like 3 home runs because you're already penciling in the disintegration.
Damn.
That's what it is.
You're
like,
right.
Mentally in your head, you're like mentally in your head as opposed to mentally not in your head. You're thinking like, oh, well, he gave up a home run. Here comes a walk and a hit by pitch and a 3-run home run coming up next. So yeah, Fromber was all right. Christian Javier need another Javier's classic El Reptil. That's what we need.
Javier's got a shove today. Okay, do these things matter? We're just going to go through some not so fun facts about the Astros and the Rangers right now. Does this matter? The Astros being bad at home? Yes. It's enough of a sample size. You can't ignore it.
It's not just a this series. It's not just a this playoff thing. It's all year, so it matters.
Dusty Baker teams have never won a Game 7. Dusty Baker teams are 11 and 16 when they have had a chance to clinch a postseason series. I think with this team in particular, I don't think it matters.
Yeah,
I think in years past, I suppose you could point the blame at Dusty Baker for these moments, and I suppose that's the reason. But I mean, the last time the Astros were in a situation like this where they had lost all of their games at home was in the 2019 World Series, and A.J. Hinch was the manager there, too. So I do think this is manager-excluded. I think it's just a flukish occurrence for Dusty Baker and all the teams that he has managed in his career.
Yeah, when it's something like this, with the success that if this wasn't the Houston Astros, maybe, but the fact that it's like these Houston Astros, like we trust these guys in big games. They've played in a million of them. Because Jeff Kent and Barry Bonds and Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor didn't win closeout games doesn't mean that these guys can't.
Bruce Bochy teams undefeated in game sevens. Remember, he was with the San Francisco Giants for their little mini dynasty from 2007 to 2019, and he won in 2010, 2012, 2014. That is a dynasty, 3 titles in 5 years. His teams are undefeated in game sevens, I guess. So goes back to his time with the Padres, where he went to a World Series with the Padres, Giants, and now his time with the Texas Rangers. Does this matter?
Same thing. Well, do they have prime Madison Bumgarner? No. All
right.
These managers that have 25 especially in baseball, we both are on the same page. We're like managers of the major sports. This is the one where the coaches, the managers matter the least. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, okay. So they won with Greg Vaughn in the 90s with the Padres. Cool. That doesn't really mean anything now.
Deal or no big deal, no team this series has won at home. The only time this has ever happened was the 2019 World Series where
small,
the Astros lost.
Small deal because of the note of the only other time that happened was when it happened to this team.
And Scherzer was on the hill for Game 7 of that, and he will be on the hill for Game 7 of this. Teams that have won Game 6 to force a Game 7 have come out on top in that winner-take-all contest 33 of 59 times, 56%. Deal or no big deal? I do think it's a deal because I think they got some of the momentum back.
Yeah, that is a deal. I agree. That is a deal. At least that has like some bearing on whatever present day.
Teams playing in their home ballpark for Game 7 are only 62-63 all-time in winner-take-all postseason games.
Well, that kind of goes hand-in-hand with the other one.
It does.
Yeah. So
not great.
Yeah. So same amount of deal as the other one. What happened? Didn't you start this at least maybe not this segment, but the last segment by saying it would be positive
vibes,
Paul.
Fine, fine. I'm just saying.
You just like, just and now you're facts. Just like all the bad ones are a big deal.
Ted Cruz's presence, deal or no big deal.
He should be barred from the stadium.
Throw in three.
I mean, all these people that talk about you and you jinxing and everyone jinxing everything.
By not drinking. Yeah, I'm jinxing by not drinking, but Ted Cruz, who is probably going to root for the Rangers when this series is done, if the Rangers win, even though he is rooting for the Astros right now, like, Ted Cruz is a much bigger deal, I think, in my opinion. But whatever. Great trial lawyer. Being fair and balanced. Because I'm sure there's somebody out there who supports him.
Yeah, but they also believe in jinxes. But then they don't believe in that Ted Cruz is a jinx because they like Ted Cruz's politics. Cool, thanks.
We do need some positive vibes. We need some positive vibes. I'm gonna give you some positive vibes before we close out the show and turn it over to Connor and Beard next. First, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Guys, don't you want to sweeten tonight's inevitable Game 7 victory? Don't you want a little cheddar on top of this do or die Game 7 at Minute Maid Park tonight? First pitch weirdly got moved back a couple of minutes. It was going to be 7:03. No, it's 7:07. Christian Javier and the Astros are 1.5-run favorites over the Texas Rangers with an over-under of 9 for the game. You know what I'm doing. I'm taking the Astros. I'm taking the Astros to cover. I think the Astros are going to get on Max Scherzer early in this game. You want to join me? MyBookie.ag. You enter your promo code BET975. You'll get a deposit bonus match of up to $1,000. So you put down a grand, boom, you got $2,000. And you can use it instantly. There's no hula hoops you got to jump through. You can use that money and the extra money that they give you right away. You get started at mybookie.ag. Use promo code BET975 for a welcome bonus. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. Again, the promo code is BET975.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me. Huh?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
On the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, GopherMonkey1981 commented, yeah, say things don't go so well for the Astros tonight. I'm not even going to speak it into existence. Ted Cruz is definitely going to jump on the other bandwagon. But if the Astros win, we get McConaughey. That's true. We get him back. And I encourage everybody, once everything is said and done tonight, to be the bigger person and to encourage any fan that you might know, any Texas Rangers fan, I would like you to do the honorable thing and say, hey, you can come on the bandwagon. You know why you should do that? Because nothing will infuriate them more. You might even get punched. Hey, oh, it was really cute what you guys did. But you can root for the real team now. Hey, I found a 2019 Astros World Series t-shirt in Zambia, and here it is for you right now, straight from Mozambique and Timbuktu. You can have this. You can put it on, and you can be part of this.
I mean, you could have any of my I have so many Astros go to the World Series t-shirts. You can have any of them. I have plenty. I have so much Astros World Series merch.
You can have our 2017 ALDS champs.
Yeah.
T-shirt.
2021, don't really care that much about 2021. You can have that one.
You can have the 2015 wild card champion t-shirt. Okay, guys. You know, we got to end on a high note. I think a little music in the background will help us get pumped up for today's game. No, not the Astros cocaine song. Hang on, let me get into Pacino mode.
Oh! I don't know what to say, really. 7 hours till the biggest game of the season on the biggest day of our lives. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. It's called Minute Maid Park. Believe me. We can stay here, get the crap kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell 1 inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I gave up drinking for October. My mom told me I'm running out of options. I wasted 2 years of my life in Seattle, and every single woman I've ever chased has said no to me. Again, running out of options. Thanks, Mom. When you get old in life, things get taken away from you. Like having perfectly black hair. I had some broad at a party I was at on Saturday night ask me if I was going to go salt and pepper for the rest of my life, and that suggested maybe dyeing my hair like I'm Coach K. That's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff like my perfectly jet black hair. You find out life's this game of inches, and so is baseball. Because in either game, life or baseball, the margin for error is so small. One pitch against us that's 2 feet outside can be called a ball. The inches, the feet we need everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every inning, every pitch. And in this city, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all the inches, that's going to make the bleeping difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. Now, I can't make you do it. You got to look at the fan next to you at Minute Maid Park. Look into his eyes like I'm looking into Sean Mabe's eyes right now. I think you're going to see a guy who will go that inch with you. The 6 inches in front of your face. You're going to see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this city, maybe even breaking sobriety. Because he knows when it comes down to it, you're going to do the same for him. That's baseball, gentlemen. That's all it is. Now, what are you going to do for the biggest game of the season on the best day of your life? You're going to see an Astros win at Minute Maid Park tonight. Thank you.
Any Given Sunday. Great movie. Great movie. And yeah, here is what I'm going to do, okay? Things aren't going our way. By the fifth inning, I'm going to go on a lap, because it's frowned upon if you're a member of the baseball media to get yourself a margarita. I'm just going to get lost from the press box for a moment. And I will take photo evidence to show that, yeah, fine, I did it for you. But only if things are bad in the fifth inning. And I know a lot of people are like, well, what if things are bad early? I truly do not believe that my actions have any impact on this game. But if it makes you guys feel a little bit better, I'll do it. But only because I love you guys. We really are the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. And I want you to just sitting in your car or listening to the show wherever you are right now, just imagine me giving you a big bear hug. And I give good hugs. I do. Many people are talking about my hugs. The biggest hugs. The best hugs. The greatest hugs. Time for a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's
garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Now, if that speech didn't work, maybe the Astros could hire Dabo Swinney for a little bit of help. Especially after this, after the game on Saturday.
Some coaches have employed sports psychiatrists. Have you ever done that?
Oh, we got them. We
We got him. He's probably on suicide watch right now.
No louder.
Yeah. We got him. Just sometimes things don't go. I mean, I'm sure things have not gone the way y'all always want. Maybe in your professional career, from time to time, maybe you had a plan, you worked hard, and you did everything, and didn't go the way you want. Well, I mean,
you know what?
You just gotta keep moving. You got to keep going. And so in a team environment, you have a decision to make. You stay together or you divide.
So didn't start off great for Dabo there. He was asked about his mental health coach and said, yeah, he probably wants to kill himself right now. But after 10 seconds of trying to figure out, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have said that. Guess what? He got back into the swing of things with a motivational line. How about that?
The sports psychologist has to have a little bit more mental toughness than 4-3, I'm on suicide watch. I'll just say that. Mm. I don't know if Dabo actually followed up with that sports psychologist to see how he was doing, but I would like my sports psychologist to mental toughness.
That's all we're looking for. Mental toughness from Christian Javier, from Kyle Tucker.
From Clemson sports psychologist.
That too.
The Houston sports psychologist too, the Astros sports psychologist.
Today's the biggest game of the season. Today is the greatest day of your life. Connor and Beard have you next. So long, farewell. Big thanks for tuning in. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday, and go Astros. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.com. If you want in, you have to audition.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dubick, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart.